This is exactly right.
Dear Colgate, I love that you love that I love being at home. You even let me whiten my teeth from home. Because you know how I feel about getting up from my cloud couch. The Colgate Optic White LED Kit gives professional level results in just 10 minutes a day for 10 days when used as directed. And that's why, Colgate, I want you to meet my parents. Because ever since meeting you, I've been living life to the brightest. Colgate Optic White. Find it at all major retailers.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
I'm Babs Gray, and I brought a box of chocolates to my office and then ate half of it because I am a hack. That is a Kathy reference. Get it?
Ack?
Oh, okay.
I see.
It's
what
a pun.
Did.
It's more something you need to see written.
Ack. I got it, though.
Yeah. Fuck.
Yeah. Follow Babs Gray on Instagram or Twitter for
follow
the actual.
Follow me on Twitter to see that someday because it's still in a draft, hence why it's not out in real life.
That's still in your drafts?
Yep.
Your drafts.
My drafts.
Drafts.
Boy.
I'm Brandy Posey, and until that first fast food drive-through window isn't always a ghost town, don't talk to me about how much better the economy's doing.
Oh.
Remember? There used to be somebody at the first window every time. That's the 90s.
That's the 90s.
Has it been
first
since the 90s?
Window?
Yeah, I think
Wait.
So.
Okay.
You guys know what I'm talking about, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Do your joke. Let's get the show started.
I'm Tess Barker, and of course I've walked a mile in someone else's shoes. I have a sister.
And this is Lady to Lady.
Can you keep a secret? Neither can we.
Hello! We got Barbara, Brandy, and of course Big Tess. We got a show for everyone that's the fucking best. Come on, baby, it's time to hang out with your favorite lady.
Welcome to Lady to Lady. The Taco Bell is being redone up the street.
Oh my God.
We will have Taco Bell soon.
It looks very, the Taco Bell has a very tiny home aesthetic.
It does. It's
very,
it's beautiful.
Yes. Very horizontal fences.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's really fun. They've kind of combined all
it's
the things.
Gentrified yes. Taco Bell with
they,
a walk-up window.
They tried to do the cantina thing. Trust me, didn't work. Went to one. It was terrible.
You went to one in New York that served alcohol, which I thought was cool.
I did, but it was bad. I did get to leave and walk the street with a drink that had alcohol in it from Taco Bell.
See, I liked that.
Was it a Baja Blast?
It was.
It was a Baja Blast of alcohol.
Well, perfect.
That it was served to me legally. So,
well, I'd love to know how our guest feels about Taco Bell.
That's why we brought her here.
Yeah, absolutely. She's an astrologer, psychic medium, and animal communicator. She's got an amazing podcast called Ghost of a Podcast, a new book called Astrology for Real Relationships, Jessica Lignato.
Hi.
Thanks.
Oh, such an honor to be here.
Yeah, welcome.
You know what? I've never eaten Taco Bell.
Really?
Your whole life? Ever in my life. I'm from Canada. I've lived in the U.S. for like 25 years.
Okay.
But I moved to San Francisco, where I think it is authentically sinful to eat Taco Bell.
Totally.
When
yes.
you can eat actual
yes.
taco.
Yeah. So, yeah, yeah, yeah.
But I feel that way about Los Angeles too, frankly.
I mean, probably, but I just can't say that because I don't live here and I never have.
Yeah, yeah.
But so, no, never.
Wow.
Never but once.
Well,
no,
you know, hard-hitting questions here.
Yeah.
That's right.
Well, I think we're in cars more down here too. Like,
oh, you are.
Yeah. So that is that opens it up to
also,
it a little
a lot of people
more.
Say text or Taco Bell's not like true. It's its own thing.
It's
not Mexican food. It's like
it's American
own...
fast food.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Inspired by the taco.
Yeah.
And the bell. I've heard they're big on bells. I don't know about that. I've never actually heard a bell. But I noticed that they usually have like a bell that doesn't work. Mm-hmm. Which hurts my feelings. Yeah,
now it's just a photo. I think it used to be real, maybe. Now it's just a graphic.
Oh. Now it's a more modern house look is the style.
But they have. Yeah, but the one up the street has been closed for quite a long time.
Long time.
I've had my eye on it.
Yeah. It's two blocks away from my house. And also, at one point, somebody did spray paint Del Taco on the side of the abandoned Taco Bell.
Wow.
It's a real fast food taco wars happening in Los Angeles.
That is something to look out for.
thank you for coming on the show.
Oh my God. Yeah, it's awesome. I'm so excited. LA is so cute.
Oh, is this your first time here?
No, it's not, but it's like, I've been here like
you're
a handful of times.
Absorbing the cuteness.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I've not been here frequently.
Okay.
Yeah. More frequently recently.
It's different from San Francisco in that it's like so big that you can come so many different times and have so many different experiences of the city.
Totally. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's... You also, I don't know, I'm kind of an asshole in cars because I just look at my phone. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I'm not seeing the city. I'm like getting out of a car and in a car. So that's stupid. But it's not a walking city, which confuses me.
Yeah.
It's a bunch of walking neighborhoods.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I think that's what it is. Yeah. But yeah, you have to kind of go from place to place.
Yeah.
But you know, it's really refreshing to hear a San Franciscan not talk shit about LA because I feel like our relationship is like, you guys are the older sister and we're like, we love San Francisco. Everyone that lives down here is like, oh, it's so pretty up there. We love it. And everyone up there is like, I'm sorry you live there.
So to be fair, I live in Oakland now.
Okay.
So maybe that's why.
I love Oakland.
I love Oakland too. Mm-hmm. But I did live in San Francisco for 20 years and I moved to Oakland like 5 years ago.
Right.
I used to be that jerk. I used to feel that way about LA. But it's because I would come to LA and only see one part of LA. Yeah,
that's the problem.
And it was, where did it?
It was the North part. Yeah, I mean, I would see a certain kind of people.
Culver City.
It was like a very Blondzilla situation. Okay. That was just like the stereotype of LA. Mm-hmm. And I just, it was just like, well, why would I do this to myself? Like, right. What am I getting out of it?
For sure.
So I think it definitely is one of those places where it really depends on where you end up here. Yeah. And so I think... on the opposite, and I know a lot of people who end up in certain, you know, I always think North Hollywood because it's like cheaper there, but it's just like kind of ugly. It's not as like, you know,
nice. I'm sorry if you live there, but we don't do North Hollywood.
I respect that. I mean, I respect that the West Side I find confusing.
It doesn't have the charm. Yeah.
I'll break it down for you. West Please. Side, you got a bunch of cool divorced dads.
You know
take
what?
Take that for what it is.
I can't tell you where I'm putting it, but I'm going to take it for what it is. Taken. Okay.
Yeah.
It's not necessarily a good or a bad thing. That's just what's going on.
It's messy in my mind.
Well, and it's like, I used to be a Lyft driver and that's how I really kind of started to categorize the city because people who are different kinds of drunks or high in different parts of the city. The West Side, it's divorced dad drinking. It's a full case of beer. You're getting really fucked up. Over on the East Side, it's like a bourbon or people are getting like high for the most part, but they still want to get up for brunch the next day. Mm. And then everyone and like Hollywood is just a psychopath.
Yeah.
It sounds like my vibe maybe more. I don't know.
Yeah.
Do I identify with psychopath? I feel like maybe I do.
I mean, I will say because I used to live in Hollywood and it's a very, there's only one Hollywood.
Right.
You know, it's like, it's such a specific energy. And like, I used to live literally by the Greyhound station where people would show up on to Hollywood.
With their fucking
on a Greyhound.
Oh,
and like,
no.
Just the people watching there is so idiosyncratic to Los Angeles. Mm-hmm. And there is some really cool, I think because Hollywood is very walkable and you kind of can't, it's better for you not to have a car there.
Right.
So there is like a New York-iness to it where it's like, if you don't live in Hollywood, you don't really go there because what are you going to park in Hollywood?
So that sounds like a nightmare and I don't even know what you mean. Like the idea of it makes me feel so angry. I just cannot even with that. I like the East Side.
Yeah. East Side is very cute.
It's very chill.
Yeah. I mean, there's lots of parts to it, but also if I'm being honest, in the last year, everyone I love I've met that lives in LA. Like, it's just, you guys are doing something right.
Oh, thank you so much.
It's
you're
us.
Welcome. We take most of the credit.
I mean, I feel like you should. I feel like you should, obviously.
It's us, the Los Angeles Dodgers, the tacos.
What are the Dodgers?
What are the Dodgers?
They're baseball. Team.
Baseball.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm going to fulfill all your stereotypes and tell you I know nothing of sports.
What are the Dodgers?
I have no idea. I find sports to be
that's very
so
refreshing.
Boring.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, shit. Is that a sports?
Yeah.
Her husband. Tessa's husband has a sports gambling podcast.
Oh, shit. I respect him.
I mean.
Sight unseen.
I do too, but you don't necessarily need to respect sports.
Yeah.
I mean, did you just not grow up around the middle?
Did I grow up around sports? I mean, like, I'm from Montreal. Sorry.
you were just so disgusted.
It was just foreign. I mean, it's foreign.
I grew up in Montreal and there's hockey, know? But like in my home, there were no sports.
Yeah.
No sports, much at all. There is a fair amount of hashish, but there was no sports. Yeah.
Yeah. That makes sense.
Reading, music, that kind of stuff instead?
No, lots of TV. Music. There was music. Music, television. I was this thing that I don't know if you've heard of it. It's called a Latchkey Kid.
Come home, watch TV.
Absolutely.
Yeah, eat a grilled cheese.
We were a thing. Yeah, there was no grilled cheese for me. Well, you know.
Hashish?
No, there was a lot of hash. But no, I didn't eat cheeses. I don't know. You know, cheeses are hard to digest for some people. I don't mean to talk about lactose intolerance so early in our relationship, but like, grilled cheese, I'm thinking of,
there's a really specific scene in Freaks and Geeks that I love when Bill comes home, and he's a single mom, and he fixes himself like an American cheese, grilled cheese, and he sits down to watch TV, and that's his time.
It's his ritual for
and
himself.
And that's like, and I connect with that very much.
It's a beautiful scene.
That was probably my favorite meal as a kid, was like the after school.
That's my favorite meal now.
Because you could make it.
When I'm like, all right, I just need to get home and make something and watch some shitty TV. Like, it's like
grilled
the
cheese.
Best feeling.
That's amazing. Now, I've never been that person.
What about cereal?
I love cereal.
Because you do
fan.
A nut milk.
You can do a nut
Although
cheese too.
I used to drink milk cereal, but it was a lot less cooking than a grilled cheese.
Yes.
And a lot less dairy. I mean, cheese is a.
It's the granddaddy of dairy.
I think it is a granddaddy of sorts. I don't know. But yeah, I did eat a lot of cereal in my youth. Not to brag.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Does your family have a history of astrology or psychic mediumship
Hell
or anything?
No.
Or, oh, you're like the first?
Hell no. I mean, I don't know for sure if I'm the first because a lot of people died way before I was born kind of thing.
Yeah.
But as far as I know, nothing close.
Yeah.
Yeah. Nothing close. Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah.
How did you get sort of introduced to it?
I was really interested in astrology since before I really knew what it was, like when I was little. And, you know, people would always be like, you're going to grow up and be a philosopher. And I was like, didn't know what that meant. And I then kind of was like, oh, I want to be a social worker when I grow up. And then I went to an alternative CSHEP. Nobody knows what it is in the U.S. CSHEP is, I'm from Quebec, the province of Quebec, and in the province of Quebec, we have a different school system. So it goes grade 7 to 11 as high school. We don't fuck with middle school because that's for bitches.
It's
like a trauma.
Nothing good happens there.
No. It's like you have to like leave grade school, go to middle school, then be the bottom, then be the top, and then start all over again.
Learning anything. Your brain's too fucked up to learn anything.
Maybe they separate you.
Yeah.
They're like, you're useless. Here's 2 years of uselessness.
Go torture yourself. It's just like a social nightmare as far as I can tell. So we don't do that. We go 7 to 11 as high school, and then there's a 2-year government-funded college program called CSHEP, and you take university-level courses. Wow. It's like 60. This was a long time ago, but it was like $60 a semester. It's like not university prices.
Wow.
And you figure out what you want to do in university.
Why the fuck are we doing this?
I know. For me, what I figured out is I didn't want to go to university. What a wonderful thing.
Yeah.
And so I went to an alternative CSHEP. And there was the professor that taught Jungian psychology in the main college taught an introduction to astrology from a Jungian perspective.
Oh, that's interesting.
It was fascinating. And so I took that and I was like, OMG, I will do this. I took the intermediate class the following semester and then packed literally a backpack full of astrology books and some clothes and moved to San Francisco. In 1994, to be an astrologer. And I just studied and studied and studied and studied and practiced and practiced and practiced. And now, 20-something years later, here she is.
So it was totally a leap of faith moment. Like, how did you choose San Francisco?
Oh, in 1994, the only place in North America that a person could imagine being an astrologer was San Francisco. Mm. Also, I came out in the year before I left as queer. We didn't have the word queer then, but not in the same way we do now. But as the translation.
Right.
So I was just like, take your gay ass to San Francisco to be an astrologer.
I mean, what an incredible time, especially like that, you know, because obviously, as you know, it's changed so much. That must have been so amazing to be there.
Yeah, I think that's a real loss. Just, I mean, as like a California file, like I've always
it
been
is.
But like, that was really such a special place for so long to so many people. Yeah. And I think there has been like a death.
Oh yeah, it's devastating. It's really awful, honestly. Yeah. It is awful, but a lot of queers have just, I mean, it's, you can't, you have to have a lot of money to live in the Bay Area.
Yeah. And you always have.
Mm-hmm. Well, when I moved there, no.
Really?
Yeah. It was only in the first.com boom that changed. Mm. But when I moved there, literally I had like $200 and yeah, and like I said, a backpack. And there was just everybody lived in these big ass houses, and they paid the small amount of rent. My first apartment in San Francisco by Dolores Park. I lived there for 10 years, and I never paid more than $350 or $375 a month. Wow. And I had like a big bedroom, and there was a fireplace in the living room, and there was a backyard, houses. And yeah, and it honestly, the roommate that inherited the place after me is still there. I don't know what he's paying, but I'm impressed. Yeah. It was affordable. Mm-hmm. And then it died, and then it died some more.
Yeah. Yeah.
So sad. So sad. Yeah. Yeah.
But I will say, I mean, I shout out to Steven if you're listening, but like there are people that live up there. I think tenant advocacy and like social justice work is just, it's still really strong and active there. And I mean,
there are some holdouts, but I mean, it's like you can't go
move there anymore. Mm-hmm. Like if you're like a young queer, young social worker, young artist, young spiritualist, you're not moving to San Francisco.
No.
That is what it used to be until like the end of the 90s or the start of the 2000s. But now it's like there's still hella holdouts, but not, it's like not where I wouldn't have moved there if all those things came together at a later year. Like I couldn't have.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's, you know, you see so many more cultures like in cities all over the place now of people kind of moving there. I think they would have gone to San Francisco or something.
Yeah.
Now it's like, now let's build our own or kind of go to the city in our state to make it its own place. So
I think you see it. You can kind of tell by the microbrews. Yeah. Like everywhere is getting a microbrewery, and that's how you know, like, okay, cool people are here.
Yeah, yeah, that's happening.
I see what's happening.
Yeah.
Because also, I could sit in any city if they have a microbrewery.
Sure.
You know?
Yes. I don't drink beer. It's totally wasted on me.
Yeah, same.
I can't.
It's like a hangout.
Like, yeah, yeah. But that's like the problem is that the, what brings the gentry. It's like that's like the line of
that's where it begins.
Yeah,
certainly.
So there can be people who are like legit, and then there can be the fucking. You know, then they find like it's happening to Austin too with the .com. It's like all the startups move there and then fuck it up. So
I really like it that you called it .com because no one does that anymore.
Well, you do.
I did. It's true because we used to call it the .com boom. Now we call it tech.
Yeah.
But it was like .com because everything was www.com and it was new. So we called it the .com boom. And I just think it's fun and retro.
Remember when they tried to like throw some new ones at us and they were like, you can do .com. Biz and dot whatever.
Oh, yeah.
Everyone was like, we're not, doing
dot co.
Oh, yeah.
Come on. Let's change it up.
I think I own a dot co.
Honestly.
I think I
I feel like you should brag about that.
Yeah.
Put that on your business
card. We should have lady to lady dot biz. Why are we?
Why are you fucking around?
People need to know we're serious about business.
If anyone has biz dot biz, that's a good URL.
Honestly.
Biz Marquee, I hope.
Somebody listening right now is going to go buy it. Drive up the price.
They're
going to
sell us.
It.
We actually, I've had some discussions with the lady to lady comedy or lady to lady.com man before who's tried some guy with an Irish accent who's been trying to sell us.
Oh, really?
Lady to lady.com.
Does he have it for pornography?
No, I can't remember what it is. Look it up.
I'm going to look it up.
I think
right
it just says it's for sale. You know what I mean? It's one of those ones where someone just like bought it.
Oh, honestly, it would have been a safe bet.
Just holding it hostage. They like they knew it was going to be someone's child someday, and they
so sad.
Exactly. We'll get her. I'm waiting for the rides of the .orgs. I think that'll be fun.
That's a beautiful thing.
Yeah, that's the fight.
We're going to run out of comms.
Yeah.
That's the thing that takes up the .coms.
But isn't .org like .gov
like
is like
government.
.org is just sometimes
Yeah, it's mostly like nonprofits and things like that.
Yeah.
And it's like I want their power to come down and crush the .com.
It'd be funny to get like a really filthy one, like cum butt poop dick .org.
I think that's a really good idea.
Yeah.
You just radicalized the whole industry.
Absolutely.
But I would prefer it was just poop dick.
Poopdick.org.
I'm just, it's a personal preference.
It's good. It's snappy.
Yeah. It's a 501.
It's easy to remember.
C3.
Like, we were talking about Jessica's podcast before this, and she was like, oh, it's nice to come on a comedy podcast. You can kind of say whatever, and there you go.
There it happened. There it happened.
Poopdick.org.
Yes.
I laid it out first, so now we can all go there.
Okay, great. Yeah, I wish it could be a .gov, but I bet there'd be rules and restrictions.
Yeah.
Just a little bit.
You'd have to do a lot of clicking through to like get past the firewalls.
Yeah. Indeed.
All right. We're going to go register at poopdick.org. We'll be right back, everybody. Yep. That's what's happening.
Hey, it's Kaylee Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
This episode is brought to you by ShipStation. If you run an e-commerce business, you know how much work it takes to produce something great while dealing with complicated shipping issues. That's why over 130,000 companies have turned to ShipStation, an innovative tool that allows you to focus less on shipping and more on building your brand. With ShipStation, you can manage orders, label printing, reporting, and customer service on one easy-to-use dashboard. You'll reduce warehouse costs with reliable enterprise solutions and save thousands on shipping costs with discounts up to 89% off. Plus, you can effortlessly import orders from everywhere you sell online. So, turn your shipping challenges into opportunities for growth. Go to ShipStation.com and use code POD to sign up for your free 60-day trial. That's ShipStation.com, code POD.
Hey, welcome back to Lady. I'm Brandy.
I'm Babs.
I'm Jess.
And we're with Jessica.
Hi.
Hey.
And
hello.
I'm curious if this episode will pick up anything or not. We just had Angela Lovell and Renee Watt from Two Side Chicks on, and there's a weird heartbeat that happened in the background of one of our segments.
Mm-hmm. It was really
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. We all heard it at the same time.
It's like we were all talking and we all heard it, and it sounded like, you know, someone doing that first or something, so we just thought it was
going
to go away.
But then I just kind of kept going.
And then we all heard and we're stopped and we're like, what is that noise? And
when we called it out, that's when it stopped.
Yeah. Was somebody pregnant?
No.
Oh God, I hope not.
Not that I. Not
that
way.
Isn't that where your mind went right away? That somebody like just lost a pregnancy or was pregnant? No.
I mean, not that we know of.
Yeah. I mean, I'm gonna send some pretty fire texts as soon as we're finished the segment, just to be like, hey.
This is my first thought
when you tell me there's a random heartbeat.
No, it was very weird, you know. Yeah. But yeah, the first time we'd ever had like, you know,
ghost sounds.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
.gov. That's right.
That's probably a secret department that they've been working on. They like want to pretend like they're not like all woo woo, but there's definitely a couple of wizards working for the CIA.
They released a motherfucking thing. Like the goddamn Pentagon released footage of UFOs a couple years ago.
Absolutely.
Wasn't there like the
what happened with that? I should watch it.
It like went like weirdly like kind of culty viral, and then nothing happened.
Nothing happened.
Yeah.
Because I think the world was like, we're dealing with a lot. We'll deal with the aliens when we got to deal with the aliens.
Yeah, fascinating. Yeah. Because I mean, like the actual video. Yeah. Mm-hmm. If anybody else released it, I'd be like, this shows nothing. But the fact that the was it the Pentagon?
Yeah, it was the Navy video, I believe.
Fact that the government released it and they were like, we think this is a UFO, and it was just like barely a thing on BuzzFeed.
Yeah.
What are we doing? What's going on?
Spending too much time on poop dick. That's our big problem.
The
Pentagon was like, we've got poop dick.
Yeah, that's what we're doing. And we're doing it wrong. Real talks.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah.
Man. All right, Jessica, we're going to ask you a couple of questions. Got a little game called Who, What, Where, When, Why.
Ooh.
There are no right or wrong answers.
I mean, I don't believe that at all. I bet there are lots of wrong answers.
Oh, really?
Well, there's some, but
we'll find out. Very open-ended, so we don't want anyone to feel like they have
I see.
Know.
Okay.
Who, what, where, when? Who, what, where, when? Who, what, where, when? Who, what, where, when?
Why?
All right. Who was the first pet that you communicated with?
Ooh, cougar. Mm-hmm. Well, the first one I communicated with, knowingly, was cougar. And it was because he actually communicated with me. Do you want to hear the story?
Yeah. Oh, okay. Absolutely. Yeah.
Okay. Then you'll hear the story. I shall tell it now. I had this storefront in San Francisco, and it was like a storefront, and the back was my apartment. And I would wake up in the morning, put on water, go to the front of the house because the kitchen was in the back, work on my emails, and inevitably I would burn water. Did you know you can burn water? Try it. Don't try it.
Becomes steam.
I've done it.
Yeah,
wait,
sure.
Wait,
yeah, you just put on water in a kettle and it just boils all the way down.
To nothing.
Yeah,
oh, and then so you're just burning the pot.
Yeah, well, I mean, if you want to get technical.
Okay.
It's okay. I burned a pot. So I was burning pots,
yes.
And I was driving myself nuts, but you know. Mm-hmm. You're as annoying as you are, so I am as annoying as I am. So
I love that you're annoying. That's a good cross stitch.
Yeah, this is another good quote. You're as annoying as you
are. Really
feel free to run with it. Turn it into a t-shirt. I shan't be offended. Yes. So I would do that. And then eventually, like after a couple weeks, my cat would come into the you know room that I was working in, and he'd be like, hey, your water's boiling. And I'd be like, oh, fuck. And I'd go get the water. And after probably a couple few days of that, I was like, wait a minute. I think my fucking cat is telling me that the water is boiling. That's stupid. And so I would tell him, you know, if you're actually like, we're communicating, like, go around there, up there, over there, over here, and come onto my lap. And he would do exactly what I would ask him to do. Wow. He wanted me to know that I could communicate with him. And so he was very communicative. Now, I had two cats at the time, and mm-hmm. the other one gave zero fucks. She was just like, you can talk, I don't give a fuck.
Yeah.
But he was very intentional in like helping me to develop the skill. So yeah, and that was probably about 15 years ago, give or take a year.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
And how, like, when you are communicating with an animal, like, is it like talking to a person, or like, what is like the...
I mean, it's definitely not verbal.
Yeah,
it's not audio, and it's not verbal, but it's hard to describe it. It's like, okay.
Yeah.
So, you know, I don't know. What music do you guys listen to?
Kind of everything.
I'm like a punk ska kid.
Okay.
Everything.
So, do you have a favorite Special song?
I love Ghost Town.
Okay.
Yeah.
Do you both know it?
No.
Okay, fuck. This metaphor needs us all to know the same song. Do you know Led Zeppelin?
Yeah.
No.
Somewhat.
Beyonce. I'm just trying to find Universal.
We can do Beyonce.
Beyonce.
You know Drake, where he's dancing stupid in the squares.
Yeah. Hotline Bling?
You heard of it.
Yes.
Hotline Bling. Okay, so you remember Hotline Bling?
Mm-hmm.
You know the refrain?
Yes.
Trust me, I'm going somewhere.
No, I'm just laughing at how long it took all of us to
find
the
same.
And then we learned about Hotline Bling.
I know. Somebody just told me last night that that's like the most downloaded artist on all of Spotify.
Really?
That's what I said. Verbatim.
That's so funny.
Wow. Yeah, weird, right? So,
all right,
okay,
so this 8-year-old Drake song.
Yes, yeah. Hotline Bling. Uh-huh. So you know how when I tell you about Hotline Bling, you have some audio in your mind.
Yeah.
You have visuals in your mind.
Mm-hmm.
You also have emotions in your mind of like your feeling about the song, your feeling about Drake, the feeling about 9 years ago when you first saw the video, whatever the fuck it is, right? That is what animal communication is like. It's like this sensory, subtle, it's in your mind, but it's not just like a thought. It's more layered and textured and nuanced than that.
Interesting.
That is so cool.
You're welcome.
Yeah.
I've worked hard on how to answer this question because it is a difficult question to answer.
Yeah.
Because how do you describe something that is patently undescribable?
Yeah.
Right? So ephemeral. Yeah.
So that's
And then it makes sense that since like animal, I mean, actually Buddy speaks very good English, but I think most animals don't. So it makes sense that they would communicate more in that kind of like.
Visual.
Yeah,
it's a visual thing. Yeah.
That totally makes sense because I feel like if I was going to think like, what does it feel like to think like a dog? That seems
And also like if you like... have a dog and you're like, we're going to the vet and it's going to be really stressful, mm-hmm. they start acting like, what the fuck are you doing before you even get the leash because you've shown them with your clear mental pictures that you're going to the damn vet. Same thing as if you're like, oh, I'm going to go get them a treat and you're sitting there visualizing, really thinking about getting them a treat, they'll start to get anxious because they're like, bitch, you just told me you're getting me a treat. Why are you sitting? Like, they know because you've told them. And then there's also this thing called animal instinct, and that is, you know, they're not the same as humans, obviously.
Of course.
Different kinds of animals are different. Talking to cockroaches is not my favorite thing.
What is that like?
I didn't enjoy it. I've done it. I had a client who had a house that was infested with cockroaches.
Ugh,
and so I like wanted to see if I could help.
Oh my God, this is already.
Yeah. I wanted to see if I could help. So I like saw that there were three species of, or like kinds of cockroaches. And they all had really different minds, like different ways of processing data, relating to survival. It was awful.
Wait, I feel like I need to hear more about this.
Okay, so this is a very like group mind oriented.
Okay.
They don't function as individuals in the same way. They're Borg-like. And if you don't know that reference, I can't help you. I'm sorry.
TNG, well, baby.
We got it.
Yeah.
We got it.
Oh, yeah.
Captain Janeway.
Again,
all the
all,
way.
Like, two of us always get one.
That's usually how it works.
Cool, cool, cool. So, yeah. So they're just... They know that they will survive beyond us. They know that they are.
Really?
Yeah.
Ooh,
yeah, rats have
cool.
that a little
how
bit
great
too.
Would you feel though?
Wow. I mean,
you can kind of tell rats are cocky, and I don't hate that about them.
Yeah,
but that's gotta kind of suck to be a cockroach and know that you're gonna survive, because it's like you're a cockroach.
They don't mind that they're a cockroach. Okay. They're actually they have a very weird form of intelligence. It's very tunnel-y.
Really?
Yeah, it's hard to explain. I was at the Oakland Zoo recently, and there was you love cockroaches.
No, a weird part of me is like fascinated.
It's a lot of things, but I saw a condor, and the condor's mind was the most interesting thing I've ever seen. It was just like, it's like, I think they communicate on like sound vibration. Like it was just this very spacious mind. I was just like, I have to remember what this feels like, because I wish it's like there's fucking Zen masters who are also hunters. That's what it felt like. It was amazing. It was amazing.
Wow.
Yeah. I got home and I was like, I gotta Google condors. I don't know what they
that
are.
That makes sense, because you see them flying and they just have to like keep an eye out for that one little like movement.
The tiniest thing. Yeah, they've got this amazing focus.
Yeah.
But it's incredibly spacious. Yeah, wow. So animals are fascinating and weird.
Can you read most of that, or is it just
I don't really think of it as reading. It's more like talking. It's just like with people. Mm-hmm. Some people don't want to fucking talk to me. Mm-hmm. Some people do. Like Shorty. Mm-hmm. What's his
Garth.
Name?
Garth.
Garth is very talkative. the other one is more like, let me see what happens, and then I'll make a call.
Really? Because Buddy, that's interesting. Okay, interesting. Yeah, that kind of makes sense, but Buddy's the one that I can be like, there's a coffee shop here called Muddy Paw, and if I tell him like tomorrow we're going, he's like, okay, cool.
Yeah.
Like, and he'll get excited, but he won't like want, like, he's so smart. Like, his
Buddy's a tall guy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Buddy is his loyalties are what motivates him. Mm-hmm. So if you tell him you're gonna do something and he's already accepted you, then whatever you want to do, I feel like he like falls in line really quick and easy, because he just already has trust with you. Whereas Garth is like, let me scout this. I'm not sure. Let me see. Like, he just feels like he thinks he's the leader of this pack.
Yeah.
Basically. So the other dog is not the leader of the pack. And so he kind of like falls back.
Yeah.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
But he's more snuggly, right?
Buddy?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, he's just a sweetheart in general.
Yeah. He seems like it. He seems like it. But he is a lot less interested in talking to me.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. Because
maybe he's just chill.
Yeah. He's very zen.
Garth is... When you asked me if I could talk to your dogs, mm-hmm. I just looked at them and they both were like, And then Garth was like, whoa, talk to me. You're going to get me. So that was just kind of, you know, and I think that
chihuahua
that
energy.
Just are, yeah. Is that a chihuahua dog? I'm sorry, barely glanced at them.
Yeah.
So yeah, they you know, we all have our roles in family.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Do like when you're in a zoo or something, do you feel like animals, do they sense it first, or is
that
it
I can
like,
communicate with them? It depends. I mean, honestly, I hate going to zoos, and I rarely do.
Yeah.
I had a really special, unique experience at the Oakland Zoo, and there were very few people, and there's like all this stuff that happened.
Mm-hmm.
But animals don't instinctively necessarily know. Sometimes they do, that I can communicate with them. I was once at my neighbor's party. He was having like a movie at his house or whatever, and somebody brought a dog, and the dog, I'll never forget it, he just ran up to me and he was like, I have the most amazing bed at my house.
So cool.
He was so excited. He just wanted me to know. He like showed me what it looked like.
Dogs.
It was so comfortable.
That was amazing.
That was a whole conversation.
Oh,
yeah.
God.
It was really tender.
I'm gonna do that to somebody at a party.
I wish that's my kindred spirit.
Yeah. Yeah. It was amazing. It was
it's
really
a great
amazing.
Way to hit on somebody, you know.
I love it.
That was a great bed at my house.
Yeah.
Do you feel like astrology applies to animals as well?
Not at all. Completely disconnected.
Oh, that's so interesting.
I know. Some people like to apply astrology to animals, but
why is it
disconnected?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's the study of humans and how they are in the world based on time from a human perspective. Do you think a ladybug and a cat experience time the same way or a dog and a human? That's not true. They experience time completely differently. Their life expectancies are completely different. Their developmental curves are completely different. So I'm not saying it's not possible to to determine the impact of astrology on animals, but which animals and who is spending, you know, generations and generations studying this. Literally no one.
Yeah.
Whereas astrology is like older than Christianity. So it's had time to kind of bake, as it were.
Yeah, yeah.
That makes sense. Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. There could be a cat somewhere that's got like a bunch of stuff up in a wall and he's like, I'm figuring it out.
Honestly. Yeah. That's true.
If anybody would, it feels like a cat would crack it.
I agree.
I want a cat so bad.
With those two dogs?
What? Yeah. I just want to, I love animals.
Yeah, that's nice.
But, you know, my husband. Pretends to be allergic. I mean, he is allergic, but
oh my god! I think he's... What if you get a cat with a tiny little basketball hat? Is that what he likes? Basketball?
He likes all of them, but I think football.
Football hat. That's what I meant.
Football.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, a little
if I could find
uniform.
A football cat, I might be able to. Just we need to move into a bigger place. I want to move into a bigger place and like rescue horses and cats and
that's
pigs
nice.
And like I want like a whole.
Have you heard of Cats on the King?
No.
It's out here. It's like not in LA, but it's near to LA. And it's this woman has a place called Cats on the King. And she rescues just legions of cats. And some of them live outdoors and some of them live in her house. And you can arrange a tour and adopt them
oh
if
my
they're
God.
Adoptable. Yeah.
And I love that. There's so many places just outside of LA that are like rescues for all these different animals. Yeah. It's amazing.
In Tennessee, there's an elephant rescue.
I know about this elephant rescue. I want to go so
I know.
Bad.
I know.
Like, they have so much room to roam that it like stimulates being in like Africa or like their natural habitat. And like, it's not a zoo at all.
That's so
like
cool.
The only way to see them is to go on these kind of expensive safaris that benefit the sanctuary.
Right, because they're like, you want to provide them actual space.
They're very, very like choosy about who they let volunteer. Yeah.
Have it's you impressive. Ever, I am like, have you ever talked to an elephant?
I have not had an opportunity to talk to an elephant. I have swam with whales.
Wow.
Which was, I did it in the Atlantic, was fucking cold.
Yeah, yeah.
So cold.
Yeah.
But that's a good note for the Atlantic. Thank you.
Yes. Yes.
Warm it up a bit.
Chill. It's serious.
But don't if global warming's happening.
Don't.
But
Warm it up a bit? Yeah. I mean, wait a minute.
I've never talked to an elephant. I've met an elephant, but it was in a really sad situation. Yeah. And I didn't know I could communicate with animals back then. But it was an enslaved elephant, so.
Because one of the most, I will say one of the most spiritual experiences of my life was diving with sharks. Like that was like, it's the same thing as you're talking about of not being able to put words to it really, but like, I was in like this huge, like there must have been like 100 or so of them.
Wow.
And I was in Hawaii and they were just calmly circling around me and I could feel them reading my like electromagnetic impulses. Like,
wow.
Yeah.
It was a really trippy and like really cool experience.
The ocean's really remarkable and it's this whole other earth.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. It's just this whole other earth with a whole other like system, which happily we're just destroying. I mean, let's I'm sorry, I didn't mean that happily.
It's true though. No. It's so like upsetting. I like global warming, like that kind of stuff when I think about like the polar bears and all the amazing, like why are we worried about outer space? We have an outer space here.
We have multiple outer spaces
truly.
Here.
Yeah, there's a lot of crazy shit.
We have like amazing shit that we're just shitting over because we can't stop using Tide Pods.
Yeah. It's really horrifying. It's it's horrifying what's happening with our earth. But
the ocean
we're grading lazy, so what you gonna do?
Yeah, that's what it comes down to.
Unfortunately. Yeah, that's not funny.
Yeah.
No.
This happens. So did the whales? You didn't know? Wait, did the whales talk to you?
The way that it works, in Newfoundland, Canada, in July, there is the largest concentration of whales of anywhere in the world. Because it's like it's like a thoroughfare. I know it's like where they travel through. Mm-hmm. So me and my ex-girlfriend, we went with the service. They put you in a wetsuit. I wore two because it was cold. And then they put you in a Zodiac boat. They drive you in circles. They like float you in circles looking for whales. They see one. They drop you in the ocean and then they go away.
Whoa.
Waiting for the whales to come swim by you. And then when you're ready to go, you wave and they come back. It was a lot jankier than I expected it to be. I don't know what I was expecting. But I wasn't expecting. I was like
pretty crazy.
Me and this other woman, there was like four of us, are like puking on the side of the boat. You know, because you're like going in circles in the ocean. It was really intense. And then the whale itself, it was like being next to a very large gray sentient bus. You know what I mean? Mm. Like, it was as close as you are. It was really close.
Whoa. Yeah.
And it, like, swam by me. And I was, like, nothing to it. Like, we didn't communicate. Yeah. We didn't connect because I was just another stupid shit in the ocean, yeah. I think, to the whale. The whale was not that impressed by my presence.
Yeah.
What kind of
whale was it?
Big gray whale.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. It wasn't a murderer. It was
just like awe-inspiring.
It was an amazing experience. And if anyone loves whales, go to Newfoundland because there's also like just boat tours. And we went on all these boat tours, literally on one of the boat tours. Everyone was given this massive white trash bag to vomit in. And like 80% of the boat had like a full bag by the end of the fucking time. It was terrible, but worth it.
Sure.
It's still one of the best experiences of my life because the whales would swim under the boat and then flip and like they just were playing with the boat. It was remarkable. So Newfoundland's really weird, but really interesting to go to. Yeah, July is the time. And it's fucking cold. So if you think like, oh, July, no.
No.
It's July and like, yeah.
Yeah, I just went to Hawaii for Christmas and we went on a whale watching boat and they were just everywhere.
Everywhere.
It was so cool. Because it was so weird. It was like you'd see one flip its, you know, fin up and then you would know it's like right beneath you or something.
Yes.
But we couldn't see it, you know? Yeah, that's cool though. Yeah.
And you don't really get a chance to be around something that's that much bigger than you and alive.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Like, even, like, you're not really around tigers or lions or even elephants that often. Like, it's an interesting perspective shift.
Well, and also something that just really is not going to cause you any... Like, if I was around a, you know, fucking lion or something, I'd be terrified. And it's kind of scary because they're just so big.
Yeah.
But they really aren't going to do anything.
Well, and it's, like, also fun to, like... be like, oh, a food chain does exist and I am still a part of it.
Yes. Yeah.
When you're around like an animal that can kind of put you in your place a little bit like that. I think that's like a good
feeling. If I was a really tiny fish, this whale would be all over my shit. Oh, it was really interesting though because, I mean, you know, this is just probably basic like whale shit that I didn't know, but they had all come there from Alaska. So it's like they get fat in Alaska, they eat a shitload of fish and then they come to Hawaii to mate. They don't eat the entire time.
Oh.
They just try to... It's so for the guys, it's quantity over quality. The guys try to get as many ladies pregnant as possible.
Gross.
And the ladies just try to get pregnant. And as soon as they get pregnant, they leave. Mm-hmm. But some whales, like they work there until all their fat like works off. And some, if they don't succeed, they just leave. But they like stay as long as their blubber will like let them.
That actually sounds like a good plan. Just go to Alaska. Eat a bunch.
Yeah.
Come down to Hawaii and just like sweat it off.
Yes. I like that. I feel like let's learn from whales.
Yeah.
Right?
I mean, what a nice life.
Yeah. For real. Yes.
All right. We'll be back in a second. Bye. We're back on Lady to Lady, the podcast you're listening to. I'm Babs.
I'm Brandy.
I'm Tess.
And we're with Jessica.
Whoop.
And we're going to, I guess, have a little chat with Garth.
Yeah, let's talk to my little...
What do you want
to
know?
I mean, I guess, first of all, he's a rescue. So I think the common rescue, like, what was his life before us?
You know, animals very rarely, I can ask him in a second, but animals very rarely are like attached to their past in that way.
Okay.
So often they won't really give a real answer. What's his name?
Garth.
And what do you actually call him?
Garth.
Really?
Schmeeple.
Okay. Thank you. sorry, that look I gave you. I was like, come on now.
Schmeeple.
So how long have you had him? Like 2-3 years?
Like almost 2 years. Yeah.
2 years. Okay. Yeah. And do you know how old he is?
No.
What did they tell you?
They told me 5 and a half.
That feels close to right.
Okay.
I was thinking it was somewhere between 4 and 6. He's got a real vague thing with time. He's like, he's like, if he was like a dude I knew, he would be like kind of a tall, chubby guy with excellent hair that's balding on top. He's really creative. I don't know why this is what I'm getting, but like, he's really creative and that's what makes him sexy, but like, you're not sure about him. Garth is really fucking weird.
And
he's like really creative and really smart, but also just like is fine with doing nothing, you know?
All the guys I know.
Right. I feel like he lived in multiple situations. I think he's been in some kind of dicey situations. He has some trauma responses, I imagine, but he thinks of himself as a really resilient person. And so has rarely been in situations that he didn't think he could handle, whether or not that's the case. That's how he feels. And, do you have something loud in your house?
I mean, like our speaker that we play music from.
Do you listen to music with really deep bass?
Yeah.
He hates it.
Oh.
He thinks it's stupid.
He
thinks it's so stupid. He's just like, he doesn't prefer it. Do you also listen to like, how is he showing this music to me? It's like, he doesn't love bass lines. What kind of music do you listen to?
I mean, kind of a little bit of everything.
Are you sure? Do you play video games?
No.
Because he's showing me like.
Oh, is it football?
Oh.
Is it sure loud? This isn't? Wait a minute.
What? Oh. Well, oh, wait, we should talk about it. So also, he's gotten a little bit better, but and he still does get upset when my husband and I have sex.
Do you have sex frequently?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Are you guys loud?
I was
going
to say she was doing this, like, pointing.
Because that's how he's, like, showing me the sound waves of it. Yeah. Are you guys loud?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what it is. He doesn't like it when you fuck. He does not like it when you fuck. Like at all. He finds it. It's like, it just seems really fucking upsetting to him.
Yeah, why is it so upsetting?
This was so funny. She was like, is there a lot of bass? It's like a...
Yeah, yeah. That's how he's showing it to me. He just is pretty certain that something's wrong.
Oh.
Well, as you're saying, it seems like you're getting hurt or something.
Yeah.
I mean, he actually doesn't really think that you're getting hurt. He's just like, stop doing that. Yeah. That's wrong. He really is.
Maybe
just,
he's really
like,
moral.
He's not. He's not. Were he a man... Would he be a pervert? Yes, indeed. But like he's it's not moralistic. It's more like it's a jarring and an upsetting sound. And for him, it is a distress. It's like
sorry.
He's just like, just don't make any noise. He's very
God damn it, Garth.
I know. He's very just like everything is simple. Just do this. Like, he's very direct. He's a really funny, incredibly intelligent dog. So you had the other dog first.
Yeah.
And he feels, Buddy is his name?
Yeah.
The other dog? He feels that he's helped Buddy become a better person.
Well, that's not true. But
he feels that he has. Because he feels that when he came, Buddy was like very obedient. And Garth is just like, you know, you kind of got to push back. Like, is kind of how he feels. So he feels like Buddy pushes back more now. Is that true?
I wouldn't say so.
Well, Garth is completely in disagreement with you. It's really interesting. Garth is like, again, it's like the reason why I weave you this tale of like this weird man who's utterly charming, but a little off.
Yes.
Is because that is Garth. He's like very charming, but like he'll swear something is true that you're just like, or not. He's just a really odd person. And he's not all Chihuahua, is he?
No.
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 And what's his other breed?
I think he's Jack Russell too.
Oh. He doesn't he doesn't like it when people think he's cute.
Really?
He takes himself very seriously. He's like, you know, he likes being perceived as like handsome or like amazing, but like he's not a baby. Oh. Do you call him baby?
Yeah.
He's not a baby. He's a man.
Does he know he's small?
I've never met a Chihuahua who knew they were small.
That's very true.
Yeah. I mean, it's just, but I can tell he's not full Chihuahua by looking at him. It's not like you're not offending him by calling him baby. He just hopes you know. You know, he wants everyone to know he's a very serious person. He likes to be taken seriously. And you do take him seriously.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's why it doesn't bother him. Mm-hmm. Is he close with your husband?
Yeah.
They have a special thing. Do they take walks together?
Yeah.
Okay, because they have a special thing. Like, he's just like, yeah, you guess me. It's cool. We're fine. Because I don't know that he always loves men. He really likes your husband, though.
Aww.
Yeah. And, is your husband going through something difficult? With his parents or something? Or with somebody older?
Mm-mm.
Huh. For some reason, your dog feels like He's going through something. Is he not going through something?
Not really.
Huh. Well, your dog doesn't... okay, we'll I feel like let's talk about that later a little bit.
yeah,
because Garth has got real ideas. He's got real ideas. He's paying attention, is how he feels.
Why does he sometimes piss on our floor and shit on our floor?
Hold on, let me look. Where is he supposed to go?
Outside.
In the backyard.
In the backyard or the front yard on walks.
Mm-hmm. He doesn't like it. he likes a walk. You know, he doesn't like, so there's two parts of it. He's fucking weird. That is a meaningful part. Like some of it is he just does idiosyncratic things. Like he just does weird shit sometimes. Yeah. I'll talk to him about it in a second, be like, please don't do this. But I will tell you this. It's really funny. He's kind of a bougie bitch. Like he wants to be walked and taken on a thing, and he's like mounting a little protest. So my guess is when he's pooping or peeing indoors, it's when you haven't taken him on a walk in a period of time that he's like, I wanted it now, or I was expecting it now. So I don't know if that's the case because he's a little weird. He's not nuts. But he's weird enough that it's worth mentioning. That, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like
I would describe him that way. Yeah.
So charming and so smart, but he's a little odd. Yeah. So sometimes he just does shit. You know what I mean?
Does he want to go on more hikes?
Yes, he absolutely does. He even just walks around the neighborhood. Like it doesn't have to be like a big thing. Like he wants his day to be broken up. Do you work from home?
Yeah.
Okay. So you're home a lot. Yeah. And that makes sense. He wants more walks. Honestly, he's not unhappy. He doesn't mind shitting in your house.
No, I know.
Yeah, he really doesn't bother him. You know, it sounds like a trauma thing, but for him, it's not. He's just like, I'm going to do what I need to do.
Yeah,
and it motivates you. You take him for a walk afterwards.
Yeah,
yeah, highly effective.
Oh shit.
Yeah.
Stop. He's like, this is how I get what I want.
It's like it's not that strategic, and he is a strategic person, but. That is true. Yes. Huh.
How much does he do it?
Just once in a while. It's infrequent enough that it's hard to like target the behavior, but it's frequent enough that it's like, God damn it,
why
Garth.
Are you fucking doing this?
Yeah. And there's no rhyme or reason. It's hard to like correlate what could. It's not. It doesn't seem like.
You take him on a walk and he won't go?
Yeah, or he will go, and then he'll save some
for later. Yeah,
or like sometimes he'll sit here I'll be gone out of the house for like 7 hours, and he's fine. Sometimes I go to yoga and I come back and I do shit in the kitchen.
Yeah. There's something oddball about him. I feel like I've hung out with a lot of guys like him. You know what I mean? Like, you're just like, there's no reason for you to have done that. There's like no reason, but he's just a bit odd. For whatever it's worth, he's not traumatized. So he's traumatizing you. But like he's not, you know, so many dogs, if they were doing that, you'd be like, oh shit, what's wrong?
Yeah.
You know,
mm-hmm.
He's not traumatized.
Well,
he just
good.
Does stupid things. Mm-hmm. And he doesn't like, it doesn't look to me like when you come home and you find him, he's like freaking out.
No.
Which most dogs would be like, oh my God, she's going to get pissed. But he's just like, yeah, it happens. I'm sorry. It's definitely not physical. Yeah, it's definitely not physical.
Why does he freak out like when I leave him alone on vacation?
Really?
Well, I mean,
how do you not know that?
Yeah.
You know that.
Or is there anything I can do?
Take him on vacation.
All right.
I mean, that's what he wants. He's like, you've made him a promise. You got him and you were instantly like, me and you forever. You've got a home now. And he took you at your word. And every time you like tell him, oh, I'm leaving for a day. I'll come back in 2 days or whatever. Or like in a week. He's like, but you made me a promise. He's a very serious man. So I think, you know, when you go away, do you tell him how long you're going to be gone?
No.
That's your mistake. So what you want to do is spend a minute sitting with your dog and being like, just really picture however many nights and mornings you'll be gone. And then show him a picture of you coming home and you dropping your bags and you like snuggling him. Like show him that you're coming back and that it's his house and it's his job to watch the house and whoever you have watching him. So that he knows that you're not abandoning him. You're not like leaving. It's a mistake that people make with animals is that we forget their personhood and we forget like we know they're listening to us. We know we're talking to them, mm-hmm. but then we forget it sometimes. And so it is really upsetting for most animals that I've talked to when that happens. So I think you just have to get a little more like hippy dippy about it and like really like
not tell
get with
Tess
them.
To get more hippy dippy about it.
Yeah. Not a problem.
Okay, cool. Then it'll be an easy fix. Yeah. I've been trying to actually talk to him about this pooping thing.
Yeah. Any headway?
No. No, I think he is just like, I don't even know what you're talking about. I'm sorry. Like he knows exactly what I'm talking about, but he's just like,
God damn it.
Yeah.
Garth.
He's an odd person.
Yeah.
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 Yeah. I don't know why.
Can you talk him out of the sex problem?
Oh no.
No.
Well,
he just doesn't
let me try.
Like...
Hold on. Hey, you give him bones sometimes?
Mm-hmm.
Frequently or not frequently?
No, not super frequently.
Can you give him a bone every time you have sex and then take it away when you're done? So
yeah.
He starts to associate it with like, this is your job now?
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
That takes some spontaneity out of your love life.
You get a bone, I get a bone.
Everybody gets a bone. Yeah. That'll work. Try it, you know. Yeah.
Oh my God.
But like, you can't give him whatever brand of bone you give him. Only give it to him when you're boning.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. So it's like associated treat.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
doable.
Yeah.
Pavlov's
yeah.
bone.
Yeah.
The smell of like milk bones are going to start making me horny.
Yeah. That's right.
That's awesome.
Yep.
Well, thank you.
You're welcome.
That's so right on. He's an extremely bizarre person.
He's very odd.
Yeah.
I love weird people.
I do too.
They're my favorite people.
Yeah. I think that's why we found each other.
Yeah. He's very, you don't mind his, you like his idiosyncrasies. Not all of them, but most of them.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Definitely.
Yeah, I see that.
Yeah,
it's nice.
Can we try to talk to Mike?
Yeah.
Are they, is
do you
that
have a cat?
Okay?
They need to like be here?
I have
no. Okay.
I have a cat and my roommate has a cat.
What's your cat's name?
Archie.
Is Archie the big one?
They're both big.
Archie's the
Archie's a little
one.
Bit bigger. Yeah.
What's the other one? Brownish?
Yeah, black.
Black.
Okay, no. So it's I am seeing Archie. Hold on. And what do you want to know about Archie?
His anxiety seems to have gotten worse.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it has. It's not exactly anxiety. Is he not an outdoor cat?
Mm-mm.
Did he used to be?
I don't know because I got it. You know, he's a rescue, but
okay.
I'm not sure. I mean, I got him pretty young, so.
Hold on for just a second. Does he get along with the other cat?
Yeah, they fight. They do fight sometimes.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, they're cats.
They're
That'll
cats,
happen.
Yeah, but they get along pretty well.
So what is your question?
I guess just like, I don't know. He feels like he's a little more, I want to see if I can like make him feel better. You know, his anxiety just seems kind of like.
Do you think he's anxious when you're hanging out at home with him?
He's pretty good then, but he like any noise, he like jumps 10,000 feet in the air. He can like get.
And that's new.
Insane. And it seems to have gotten more intense. Yeah. In the last like 6 months or something.
Are you more anxious?
Not really.
Hmm. So we have another situation where we have another animal who says, yes, you are. Or maybe it's your roommate, but there's more depression in the house. It's not anxiety that I'm seeing, it's depression.
Okay.
And your cat's picking up on the depression and is really impacted by it. And I mean that literally, like impacted. So you know when you feel like, just super impacted by life and that makes you jumpy? Mm-hmm. So it's not exactly anxiety, which is like a, oh my God, what's coming? What's happening? What's going on? It's more of a like, she's kind of at her limit.
Yeah.
And do you not spend a lot of time at home?
It's like, it's on and off. You
right.
know? It's
that
like, I was
sense.
Just gone for the holidays, but now I'm back a lot. So.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Cause when you're home, she's not showing me that she's jumpy. Mm. It's when you like spend time not home. And then when you come home, she like eases back into comfort. I think she's very... he's very he's just a really contemplative person, you know, and he wants to spend time like sitting with you, and he feels like you're a really contemplative person and he really likes it when you like go there, and I don't know that you have been doing that as much lately, like in the last chunk of time.
Mm-hmm.
I think he a little misses you. you know? Like, I think he a little misses you being you in the way that you used to be, like, a little more teamsy. And there is depression in the house. So whether it's you or it's your roommate, you know, Archie is the literal opposite to Garth. He's just like this intensely contemplative, sensitive, almost philosophical kind of person, you know? He really is. And I think he is such a good partner for you.
Yeah, we're a good team.
Yeah, you guys are
such a good team. Yeah, you really do complement each other. And he's incredibly invested in you. Like, very fucking invested.
He's really attached.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's very invested in you. And so he's highly sensitized to, like, the subtle things that you don't pay attention to until you're forced to.
That makes sense.
He would be happy to narc on you about a lot of things to me. yeah. But I'm not, you know, he's like careful of your privacy, but he's just like, he's kind of excited that I can talk to him because he like wants to take care of you. Because he wants you to take better care of yourself, if I may say.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Sorry if that's too personal, but that's how he feels. So,
no, that makes sense. I feel like I'm always in this like thing where, I mean, I guess there has been, I have depression. I've been better about it lately, but I have been having this issue where I'm like seeing the kind of life I want to live, but I'm not living it, you know? And it's like the thing where you want to get up and be healthy and do this and that. And it's like, I just don't do those things. Mm-hmm. So
he thinks that what you should be doing, I mean, it's not part of it. It's just it. Yeah. The thing that he thinks you should be doing is just sit and get organized about really small steps. He says that whenever you're successful, that's what you've done. It's like you've like organized immediately small steps of what you need to do instead of like the big steps. And when you're doing stuff like that, you're talking to him more. You're like engaging with him because he's really grounding for you. He likes being supportive to you. But you get into these moods where you're not really that open to being supported because you just get like wrapped up in yourself. And I think you just had a chunk of time like that. And so he's just kind of holding that still, I think. If you wanted to make a shift with it, what I would say, if you can, spend a weekend home with your fucking cat and like write in your dear diary and like do things that are self-carey and don't like fix the world or like figure things out or exercise. Just like, you know, clarify for yourself like what you hope and where you can start. And just pet your cat and like watch Netflix or whatever. You smoke weed?
No.
Okay, I wouldn't smoke a lot of weed around him. He doesn't like it.
he is the opposite of Garth.
Yeah, he's the opposite. Yeah, he's the very, very opposite. The other cat does something annoying to him.
Exists?
She jumps on things. Is it she or he? Sorry?
She.
She jumps on things, eh? Like she like a up high cat?
Yeah, I mean, they kind of both are.
Okay. She does this thing sometimes where she like jumps into places that he wants to be. And he's like, but again, it's like so different than Garth, who would just be like, I'm going to tell you what to do. And he's just like, that is not what you're supposed to do. And no. It like upsets him and he takes it personally. And then he feels like he has to act on it. It's just like a whole thing for him. He's a really complicated person. Also, is his breath bad?
No, not that I can tell.
Okay, and you would know. You would sniff it. Okay.
I think it's good.
Okay. Yeah,
When I just took him to the vet, they were like, oh, he has pretty good teeth and stuff.
Okay, yeah, because he's showing me like something. It's like right in here in his teeth. I don't know what it is. I don't know if it's a little sore in his gum there. I mean, it literally could be like today, what I'm seeing. So, you know, if you start to notice like weird breath stuff, just bring him to a vet.
Oh, okay. That's good.
Yeah. Yeah.
Thank you.
My pleasure. Yeah.
So fun.
Oh, man.
Are we going to talk to Jack?
I have a dog. Should we do that first topic
session? Yeah, let's do it.
Okay.
Should we want to?
Yeah. Let's. Okay. Yeah, absolutely. I have a dog named Jack. If he's
what's his name? What's this? Is this what you call him?
Jackson. Jack Attack.
But let's do him for a top secret.
Yeah, let's take him over to the top secret session if he is willing to talk.
If he's, yeah, we'll explore.
Yeah, yeah.
Thank you so much.
My pleasure. Yeah, my pleasure. Absolutely. Yeah.
Where can everybody find you online and
the
everywhere?
The internet. LoveLagnetto.com. Or on social media at Jessica Lagnetto, and my podcast is Ghost of a Podcast.
It's amazing.
Ghost of a Podcast.
I'm a big listener.
Thank you.
A huge fan. And it's also a short podcast.
It's short.
You're done in like 40 minutes tops.
That's a long episode for
me. That's the best gift you can give.
Yeah, 20 yeah. brevity.
Sorry, guys. Ours is not.
Yeah.
I mean,
absolutely.
Hey, man. It's 40 minutes, I like am stressed out. I feel bad. Yeah. But yeah, it's like 25 to 40 minutes. And thank you for listening.
Absolutely. And you've got an amazing new book called Astrology for Real Relationships. And it's really good because you break it out into like for long-term relationships, like short-term hanging out and dating, and then for friends and chosen family and stuff.
Oh, that's so fun.
Thank you. Yeah. Cool. I'm a big fan of friends and frenemies and colleagues and stuff like that. So yeah, it's all in the book.
Yeah.
I think, yeah, it's so much fun as I get older to really like dive into, you know, relationships and how we're connected and everything. So this always is just, I don't know, it's helpful. It's so helpful to like dig in there.
I agree.
It's like filters
just analyze.
To look
through. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I love
it.
It
is very Jungian too.
Yes.
That's such an interesting parallel.
Yeah. Jung was an astrologer.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm. What is that?
Wow. Huh. People who aren't astrologers don't.
Yeah.
I had no idea.
Yeah.
Wow.
Oh, yeah.
Well, damn. Yeah. Well, follow Jessica and we're going to go over Top Secret Session and talk to Jackson.
Yeah. Patreon.com/ladytolady, little Jackson convo. We'll see you over there.
Bye.
Can't get enough of us? Subscribe to our Patreon for exclusive bonus content, access to our first 100 episodes, and more. Go to patreon.com/ladytolady now to sign up. As little as a dollar a month keeps a roof over the glam cave and keeps you laughing, even when your coworkers stare. That's patreon.com/ladytolady.
And don't forget to follow us on social media. We're on Twitter and Instagram at Lady to Lady Comedy. Join our Facebook group, Lady to Lady Podcast, to chat with other fans about episodes or even post your own lady problems. Check out our website, ladytoladycomedy.com, for show notes, videos, and merch.
And duh, follow our individual accounts, Babs Gray, Brandazzle, and Testify Barker, for jokes and info and where you can see us perform live. And if you want to send us snacks, stickers, or a lock of your own hair, I don't know, whatever, our P.O. Box is 412-794 Los Angeles, California, 90041. And please, leave us a review on iTunes, but only if you like us.
We love you.
We love you.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Bye. Bye.